Welcome to the Sounding Off with Kim Munson podcast. Be sure and check out my website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Be sure and sign up for our weekly newsletter. That will give you the first look at all of our upcoming guests, as well as op-eds and podcasts. And go over to Facebook and give us a like as well. This morning, I'm thrilled to have on the line with me Chris Cantwell with Trans World Business Advisors, one of our very valued partners here of the Kim Munson Show. Chris Cantwell, welcome to the podcast.
Good morning, Kim. Glad to be here. Thanks for the invitation.
Most definitely. You were on the show recently, and we realized that we probably needed to take a little more in-depth look or conversation about something that is occurring out there right now. But before we do that, what's happening in your world? Are deals getting done, or what's happening, Chris Cantwell?
Great question, Kim. So yes, we are still seeing businesses being bought and sold, and obviously that's what I do as a business broker. So in the month of June, well, let's back up. So we know mid-March is when a lot of these shutdowns happened, and many businesses were forced to close or change the way they operate. And during those times, some businesses thrived, and some businesses have really become distressed from that. So it definitely changed up the market. And in March, things got very quiet. In April, I would say inquiries and conversations picked up. May, transactions were kind of coming back together. And in June, we actually sold 10 businesses in June, or when were involved in 10 transactions. In July, we had 8. And here, kind of looking early August, we probably will be 8 to 10 again. So we're still getting transactions done. Some of these businesses that we've closed in the last 3 months were already being negotiated prior to COVID. So those are somewhat exceptions. There were a couple of those deals that clearly fell apart, a couple of deals that got paused, and then as things moved forward, were able to get closed, and some that were not impacted at all. So we are still seeing transactions happen. I'll tell you that in the market, there are still going to be sellers out there, and whether they're ready to retire, and maybe they were thinking about holding on another year or two, and this has just caused them to shrug and say, oh, okay, I'm done. I'm ready to retire, so I'm going to get my business on the market. Or there are businesses out there that are truly distressed. Restaurants would be a great example. There's some statistics that I've seen that I think the Colorado Restaurant Association put out an email earlier this week that said there could be up to 64% of the small independently held restaurants that close and don't reopen.
Oh, that breaks my heart.
So
that breaks my heart.
Yeah. So tough situation. So we're going to be out there helping some of these restaurateurs and other businesses in terms of finding buyers to either take over their concept and their brand, or just take over their space. And that's where landlords are going to be reaching out to us as well to find new opportunities for new folks. And, you know, while many restaurants close, it brings new opportunity for different and new restaurants to open, and people that, you know, maybe have been wanting to do their own concept, but the market's been a little too expensive for them to get their own space. They're going to have an opportunity to take over some spaces at a reduced cost to them and open their concept. So that's the bright side of that, but tough all the way around. And then on the buyer market, Kim, I was just going to mention that I think we're going to see a lot of buyers coming to the market for a number of different reasons. One, there's going to be some good opportunities. Some businesses are going to be distressed and will sell at a reduced value, but there's still plenty of just solid performing businesses out there. And even some that had a hiccup in quarter two, but that will be looked at as a one-time non-recurring event. So from a financing perspective, or just the overall results, we'll know that there's that hiccup there, but it's not related to the business operations. It was related to the closures and shutdowns. So we're also going to see these buyers coming to market because they've either been laid off or furloughed. and are tired of maybe living mm-hmm. in the corporate world and want to go out and be entrepreneurs and have a little more control and destiny in what they do. And from a financing perspective, you know, we know that this current economic crisis is not related to banking and financing as it was in 08, 09. So the money opportunities are still out there. The bankers are still looking to lend money. There's still some great opportunities in terms of, you know, taking some money out of your 401k and not being penalized for it. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, you can buy a business, a really nice business for roughly 15, 20, 25% down, depending on the economics of the business, obviously. But you can get out there and be an entrepreneur for less money than you might think on the surface.
Well, and somebody can really create cash flow for themselves into the future by buying a business now as well. So there is, you know, during these disruptions, first of all, your number of 64% of restaurants possibly not reopening, you know, that's everyday people. That's people that have put their heart and soul into those businesses and their savings. And it's been government policy that has shut these businesses down. And that absolutely breaks my heart. But during these disruptions, we have to remember, as Americans, there's always opportunity. And so, you know, we need to dust ourselves off, and there's always opportunity, which is really what you do every day, is help people with opportunities, help them buy and sell their dreams, Chris Cantwell.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And, you know, that's what we love about America, and the ability to own your own business and to own that property and to be able to go make a living for yourself and to provide a living for others. And at the end of the day, I always say that, you know, businesses are out there because they create products and services that other people value because it makes their lives better. So our entrepreneurs are out there, they're innovating, they're creating those products and services that make our economy go around, and it benefits everyone at the end of the day.
So Chris Cantwell, before we get into the next subject, how's the best way for people to reach you?
Yeah, they can call me directly at my number, which is 844-SELL-BIZ, B-I-Z, 844-SELL-BIZ. You can also find all of my contact information on the KimMunson.com website.
Yes, you can. So let's jump into the subject here. And that is, when you were on the show recently, you mentioned that there was a petition going around to encourage lawmakers to do some loan forgiveness. So take it from there. Set this up for us, Chris Cantwell.
Yeah, so there are four legislators out there, two Republicans, two Democrats, that have put forward a bill called the Paycheck Protection Small Business Forgiveness Act. And essentially what they're offering in this, and I believe it's being negotiated in this second round of CARES, and, you know, I think on the Republican side, they cut $1 trillion in spending, and on the Democrat side, they want $4 trillion and states bailed out. So, you know, that's a whole other tangent we could go. And that gives me chills just thinking about that kind of money on both sides. So at the end of the day, we have all these PPP loans out there. And Tim, you and I could sit around an armchair quarterback all day, whether that was the right thing to do, whether it was executed the right way. I mean, at the end of the day, that money's out there. And again, I'm not sure I'm okay with that, but I can't sit here and armchair quarterback whether or not that was the right idea or the right decision or the right way to do it. But at the end of the day, again, we have that money out there. And what this act is trying to do is say, okay, small business owners, if you received a PPP loan for less than $150,000, they want to offer a one-page release, a simple one-page forgiveness document that says that $150,000 will be forgiven and it's not relevant to how you spent it. So let's back that up a little bit. The original PPP loans were designed to keep employees on payroll. So initially they were saying, if you borrow this money, to get forgiveness, you need to pay your employees back or pay rent and utilities. So it wasn't necessarily out there for you to go, you know, buy new equipment and do things like that. It was specifically geared towards, you know, paying your rent and paying your employees and keeping things floating. And I guess the idea was, if the business owners can pay their employees and keep them, quote unquote, employed, even if they were shut down, that's a better alternative than all these employees going to the unemployment side. So that's my understanding on it. I don't know, Kim, if you thought any differently or that's your understanding as well.
Well, I'm really relying on you regarding that. I'm struggling with this whole loan forgiveness thing because ultimately it's us and our children that will be paying this bill. On the other hand, it was government that closed down these businesses. So I'm really struggling with it. I'd actually prefer that those politicians and bureaucrats that closed down these businesses, that they had to pay for this. I know that that's a little pie in the sky, but I think they need to start to be accountable for their decisions. But I'm struggling with it, Chris. I'm really struggling with it.
Fair enough, Kim. So let me add a little more color to what's going on right now today. So in the market, and this affects my industry and people that are and our clients that are looking to buy and sell businesses, because we have this cloud of PPP loans out there that nobody seems to know what's going to happen. And, you know, so if you're in the middle of a transaction right now, you've got a business you're selling and you've got a buyer out there who's ready to make this deal happen, and you've got a $125,000 PPP loan out there, that loan is going to stick with the seller, right? So when we do these sales, we do what's called an asset sale versus a stock sale. A stock sale would be somebody buying somebody's entity that actually owns the business, and that entity is who borrowed the money. So stock sales rarely happen. There's just a lot of reasons why they don't happen. So in this situation, when somebody buys a business, they buy the true tangible assets and they buy the name of the business and the brand and the reputation and all the goodwill side of that business. But it's a new or a separate entity that actually buys it. So it's a free and clear transaction, meaning, you know, if a seller has notes out there that they need to pay or owes taxes or has a lawsuit, that all stays on the seller's side. So it's a clean transaction for a buyer. Okay. So these PPP loans still stick with the seller, but the sellers are out there saying, hey, I've got 125 grand out there and I still don't know if it's going to be forgiven, what the rules are to have it forgiven. It's changing every week. So they're hung up saying, well, wait a minute, you know, I can sell my business now, but, you know, and I've spent this money the way it was supposed to be spent, but I don't know if I'm going to get it back. And that makes me nervous. And so that's causing some deals to kind of hold because they're all waiting to see what's going to happen. Now, the PPP loans were given to business owners by the banks, right? So the banks actually lent money on these. So the banks are also saying, well, wait a minute. If you sell your business, you still owe us 125 grand. We don't know if any of it's going to be forgiven. It's just, you know, it's all gray out there in terms of what the answers are going to be. So the banks are saying, well, I'm not going to release this lien that I have on you. And then that's also causing buyers to say, well, I can't buy the business with this lien on it. So it's really muddy right now, again, coming from my world, because there's just so many unknowns on this. And so now what the government is essentially doing or proposing, it's hard to say, is telling these bankers to go into all these businesses that they loan money to and be the auditor to determine if the money was spent the right way.
Oh,
and
my
this is not the job of these bankers. They're you know, frustrated, confused. You know, it's just more mud, right? It's just more frustration for everyone. These banks are not skilled in that kind of auditing. So the simple solution that these legislatures provided is this, you know, everything under $150,000 to be forgiven. So I do have some kind of statistics here. Let's see. The Paycheck Protection Program loans under $150,000 account for 86% of the total receipts, but less than 27% of the PPP loan dollars overall. So,
boy, that makes you, that really makes you have a question comes up. So you said, again, $150,000 or less. Now, explain that again. I think I missed that. Try the, okay?
Yeah, so for all the loans that are out there for $150,000 or less, it's 86% of the total recipients. So 86% of the people that borrow this money are less than $150,000. But for the total dollars, it's only 27% of the total dollars loaned out in the market.
Boy, so that's concerning. That's concerning.
But a smaller percentage of the overall money. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
The overall money that's out there in the market.
Wow. That so that means that 73% of the money went to the bigger businesses then. And, you know, we've seen all kinds of reports about big businesses, like Robert De Niro apparently had a bunch of different restaurants, and so he was able to kind of slide, you know, through and have each restaurant be a different entity, at least according to my understanding. And so kind of, you know, wasn't the purpose of what was supposed to happen.
Correct.
So.
Agree. You know, again, that's where we can go back in armchair quarterback.
Right, right.
I got to think huge, you know. Billions of dollars is in the travel airline industry, hotels, you know, big corporate hotel chains that were forced to shut down. Many of these hotels still are shut down. So you can imagine where, you know, again, these are the small mom and pop businesses that, you know, I don't have the statistics on what the average is under 150,000, but might only be like 50, 60, 70,000. Most of the businesses and the businesses that we typically work with are doing less than $10 million a year in revenue, and I would say 70% of our clients do less than $1 million. So these are truly the smaller mom and pop businesses, and I would say just from our clients, the average that I'm kind of hearing out there is usually between 30 and 70 thousand. I've got a multi-million dollar client that I know got 170, and that's the biggest one that I know of. So I still think that some of these PPP loans are, you know, $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000. And because they were told from the get-go that they needed to spend it on payroll and rent and utilities, they've all done that.
Right.
None of them went out there and said, you know, well, I don't want to say, I'm not going to paint with a broad brush, but at least the clients that I know, they just said, listen, I wanted this forgiven. So I did it all the right way. And their CPAs have been instructing them the same way. So I don't know of anyone that went out there and said, okay, great, I've got 30 grand. You know, I'm going to go buy an RV for myself or anything like that, because they were told that they're going to have to pay that back. So,
right. And it's again, it's your mom and pop operations, your little guys that play by the rules. So, and so the idea that banks would have to become the auditors, which, you know, going over to the Governor Polis's executive order regarding the mandatory masks, it says to businesses that you have to enforce this executive order. And of course, businesses also are the ones that, you know, they have a product that they sell, they collect the sales tax. It's like the little guy is working for the government, but we're not getting a retirement plan for doing it. You know, and it's kind of amazing to me, Chris Cantwell.
Yeah. You know, I feel for these small businesses always. I'm such an advocate for small businesses.
Me too.
And I love what they do, and they work so hard, and they are punished and penalized the most by government. It's almost like saying, okay, let's actually give these guys a break for once, because you're killing us with minimum wage. You're killing us with paid time off. You're killing us with forced wage or forced benefits and controlling what benefits I have to offer. I mean, it is nonstop attack on these small mom and pop businesses.
It is.
This is almost a way. It's still taxpayer money. I get it. The government doesn't spend a dollar that it doesn't confiscate from somebody else. but it's almost like, give these guys a break. They used it the right way. They're going to get all tied up with banks and CPAs and all these people on, you know, trying to get $10,000 forgiven so that they could pay their employees for a few months. That's where I'm leaning in this camp.
I get it.
Give them a break.
I get it.
Let them move on.
I get it. I still struggle, but you have made a very compelling case for this, Chris Cantwell, because you and I both realize you're absolutely spot on. It's the mom and pop. It's Main Street that really had gotten hit. And government defined which business was essential and which wasn't. And if your business wasn't defined as essential, then you got shut down. I mean, there's just so much that has gone wrong with all this. I think that I'm not totally sure, but I'm going to really ruminate on this. You've made a very compelling case on this, Chris Cantwell.
Well, thanks, Kim. I've got one more note here.
Okay.
Some research that I've done on this, and there's a group out there called AQN Strategies. They're a financial consulting firm. I don't know much about them. This is just some data that they put out there. They found that expediting these forgiveness processes could save more than $7 billion as well as hours of paperwork. The firm based that number after predicting the combined resource requirements of operators' time and or third-party expenses equal to $2,000 to $4,000 for each business applying for forgiveness, requiring 20 to 100 hours of focus time from the business. So there's that aspect of it as well.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Yeah, because, you know, a small business is going to have to look to their accountant, to look to professionals to help them with that, and it's time and money. And time and money is so important to small businesses. So, Chris, any other details you wanted to share regarding this?
You know, if there's business owners out there that have been thinking about selling, you know, maybe in the next few months, or we're thinking about selling maybe next year or maybe 3 years down the road, and they've got questions regarding the value of their business or how these PPP loans might affect them or what's happening in the marketplace or how do they set their business up for success post-COVID, knowing that they're going to have an exit in the next few years. Those are all areas that I can help, and I don't charge for consulting. I don't get paid by a consulting hour. I'm happy to give people advice and hopefully able to work with them down the road when they're ready to take their business to market. But I think there's a lot of unknowns. There's a lot of questions out there. We are getting a lot of business owners that are saying, you know, what's going on in the buyer world? And the buyers are out there. I mean, we're back to normal in terms of inquiries on the businesses that we have listed. And so it's exciting to see all that going on, but there is a lot of unknowns, and there's some things that, you know, certainly nobody has the answers on, like these PPP loans and how to get them forgiven and the process for that. So again, I'm all about the short path, but understand the consequences aligned with the shortcut as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, Chris Cantwell, final thought. I mean, there is always opportunity, and that's really, I mean, you're one of the most positive guys I know. I did a quote just recently, or was looking at one from Ike Eisenhower. He said, pessimism never won anything. And you are one of the most optimistic guys I know. And, you know, and so, you know, there's always opportunity. Your final thought, Chris Cantwell.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. Even in these shakeup, even in these terrible times where people have struggled, it creates innovation. It helps us with technology. It helps people spur new ideas and new concepts. And it just creates opportunity out in the marketplace. So certainly people are struggling, and certainly people have had the benefit of this craziness that's helped their business. But at the end of the day, this is what we do. We business owners provide products and services that other people value because it makes their lives better.
You got it. So if you'd like to talk to Chris Cantwell and inquire about the different businesses that they currently have listed, his number is 844-SELL-BIZ, 844-SELL-BIZ. And also you can go to my website. Chris has a landing page there as well. And Chris Cantwell, thanks so much. Very thoughtful conversation on this. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate your time as well, Kim.
Okay, so this is the Sounding Off with Kim Munson podcast. God bless you all, and God bless America.